Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
We made you smart.
About that. Before anybody got here. Sorry, you missed the show. Sorry. Molly and I are done because we already made people smart.
We did our work here today.
Oh, my goodness. We do. Hey, everybody, it's Connor Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. We are making today make sense, making people smart, even before the podcast starts. That's what we do.
It's really true. And I'm Molly Wood. I listened to an older episode the other day where we used to say, none of us is as smart as all of us, and I kind of missed it. I was like, oh, we should bring it back.
We can start saying that
just for
again.
Tuesdays.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that. You change brand and marketing people, and the slogan changes, man. That's what happens.
I know. That's what happens. I love it. And also, when you say it on the podcast, they have to let you do it because it's now of record. So
right.
There you go. It is indeed increasingly, I mean, just as predictable as the day is long, by the time you get to Thursday, you're just a little hollowed out. Little tiny bit. Yeah.
A little bit. Even though, honestly, I feel mostly good today, not terribly hollowed out, but it's, you know, there's an underpinning, a soupçon.
Yeah. It's there. Yeah. It's there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. Anyway, it's medium hollowed out shell Thursday.
Medium.
Let's put it that way.
All right, very well. Okay, you get to start. Go ahead.
All right, news fix, make me smile, and so on and so forth. I just think, and we're probably going to talk about this a little more early next week, but I couldn't help but notice a couple of stories about Facebook today. One, that Facebook is now going to be more aggressive about removing misinformation about coronavirus vaccines. Previously, it was only removing false claims about COVID-19 that it said could lead to imminent harm. Now it is going to start removing false claims about vaccines specifically that have been debunked by public health experts. And it's going to just, you know, interfere a little bit more with the stuff about vaccines. Also, Facebook announced it's stepping up its moderation against anti-Black hate speech. For nigh on all these many freaking years, Facebook has had this approach toward hate speech, which was basically, well, for a long time, none. And then they were basically like, huh, so now we're just not going to allow hate speech, and we don't care who it comes from, and we don't care who it's about. And then they realized, you know, hate speech probably does more damage when it's geared toward Black people, Muslims, Jewish people, members of the LGBTQ+ community. So they've had this race blind approach that would have all of, you know, that where you would find Black people saying often on Facebook, like, I said something along the lines of white people suck, or, oh, in my next life, I'm going to be a white guy, and had that be removed. But then worst sort of racism and anti-Muslim sentiment and on and on and on would still be on Facebook. And so now they were like, you know, we're going to actually take the approach that, like, it is in fact harmful to allow hate speech against underrepresented minorities. And so this work on that now.
Mm-hmm. This is not an answerable question, but you're the tech person in this conversation, so I'm going to ask you. Why have we tolerated Facebook's Facebookiness for so long?
I mean, because no one wants to leave it, apparently. Yeah. No one wants to leave. Advertisers still, it's because there's still audience. Like, people still use it. It's become incredibly necessary. It makes a ton of money. It's really good at lobbying. And I think it's been hard to prove. I mean, really, what's so astonishing about this, I just educated my child about Gamergate. in 2014.
Oh, you know, wow.
Yeah, he was actually shocked to hear about it when it started with actually a female journalist who wrote about video games who started getting harassed and attacked online and really, really spread into this just like unbelievable targeted harassment of women in the gaming community. And no one took it seriously. Not Twitter, not the police, not Facebook, nobody. There was zero recognition and even active and condescending denial of the idea that speech online translates into offline harm. And that was 2014. And we are only now starting to make it a matter of policy that speech online translates into offline harm. And I think we tolerated it because, you know, it's just there's a lot of gaslighting that goes along with it. They were just joking. It's only online. It's not that widespread. It's a really hard problem to solve because of scale. And none of it's true. And I just think that I find it particularly interesting that so much of this, you know, we'll see how substantive this change is. But if substantive change starts occurring because new administration much, it's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah. Yes to all of that. The amount of power that Mark Zuckerberg has over this society is just staggering.
I know. Not just this one. The world. Like, its biggest growth is in other countries that have, like, no immunity to this. It's terrifying.
Yep. So that's Molly. For me... I picked up a little item today that the more I thought about it, the more consequential it became. And it was this announcement from Warner Brothers that next year, under certain conditions, but for all of their films, they are going to release them simultaneously in theaters and on HBO Max. Now, there are some, you know, terms and conditions that go along with that. It's not going to stay on HBO Max forever and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's really interesting because for a long time now, we have been talking about this pandemic changing the economy in ways we haven't really thought of yet. And then I thought of a conversation that you and I had with Scott Galloway, talking specifically higher education, but then also just writ large. There's that word if you're playing bingo today on Make Me Smart, about how the pandemic was accelerating everything. Like 10 years. Stuff that was already happening, like by the time we get out of this pandemic, it's 10 years down the road. And this is one of them, that movie theaters are not going to be able to hold back the tide of people wanting to sit on their couch and watch first-run films, as opposed to having to go to a theater. And yes, look, I enjoy sitting in a communal experience and watching in the dark on a big screen and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, I would probably watch more movies if I could do it on my living room couch. And so I think this announcement from Warner Brothers today is a big deal. It's a big deal. And if you're AMC and Regal and all those big movie houses, I think this is a real challenge to you. I think this is a real challenge. And in fact, their shares were down like 10 or 12% today. I should look that up. So I think that's,
Yep. It's huge. So. And I can only assume that Warner Brothers is just the first. Hole in the dam here. Like, now that they've announced it, every other studio is going to have, for one thing, they're going to have to, because I did a find in this article, and it turns out Warner Brothers is not behind Top Gun. So whoever is producing Top Gun, you're going to need to make your announcement next, because this is ridiculous. Just let me, just take my money. Let me watch the movie. But this is something, like, literally what I just said is something consumers have been saying for years.
Yeah, for sure.
About streaming services.
Look,
Just take my money.
Yes. Yes. We did it with Mulan in this house. We did it with Mulan, the new Mulan in this house. We were paying for Disney Plus, and then we gave them 30 extra bucks just so we could watch this freaking movie that I didn't like.
Absolutely.
Don't at me, you know?
And
I'm
sorry, and I know this sounds heartless in the midst of, you know, this upheaval and all of the employees who work for these companies, but this is only the fault of the theaters. It really is. The fact that only like a year and a half or 2 years ago did the AMC in my town that we always would go to start to get like a bar and more food and the ability to reserve a seat so that you're not just like elbowing people aside. Like,
all of that.
It all needed innovating. It got none. And consumers eventually were like, yeah, no, thank you. I don't prefer this after all.
And now in 9 months, it has happened. Also, by the way, AMC shares down 16% today. So that's what the market thinks of that. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised it's only 15%. Dang. I mean, I guess maybe.
There are $3.63 stocks, so, you know, they can only go so far.
That was my next question. Yeah. How close are they to zero?
Yeah,
ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah.
Okay, there we go, right? Is that the news of the day? I think that's the news of the day. Okay, very well.
Surprisingly good news even before Make Me Smile. Let's do it.
Who's in charge?
The Benster.
Oh, yeah, Ben. I was just there. I should have known this.
We confused him because that was kind of a happy story because I'm, like, pretty excited to watch Wonder Woman at my house over the Christmas break.
Yes, for sure. Totally for sure.
They don't charge me
$30
for
I'll go first just because mine's not... Yes.
Yeah, go.
Absolutely.
Go.
mine is not an actual make me smile, but it gave me a little chuckle, and it just sort of put things in context. The New York Times has this little interactive opinion piece today where it purports to, once you enter some data, find your place in the vaccine line, right? So it wants to know how old you are, what county you live in, and whether you are a healthcare worker, essential worker, first responder, or a teacher, and if you've got COVID-related health risks. So you fill those out, and you hit submit. And then when you do that, as I did, it says, based on your risk profile, we believe you are in line behind 268.7 million people across the United States to get this vaccine. So there you go. I'll just hang out for a while. All y'all get your shots. No, which is good, right? I mean, it says I'm not that much at risk and everybody else needs it before me. That's fine. I get that. I just thought it was a fun little gizmo.
Amazing.
Obviously, a lot of variables that are not in there, right? Race and socioeconomic status and all that jazz. But anyway, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun.
I did the same thing, actually, and I think very similar numbers, 268.7 million.
All the people
in front of me. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And... it is an absolute delight, by the way. Like, their little infographic, and then you find yourself like, where's Waldo?
Oh,
there are, I should say,
yes,
between me and the last person in line, 19 people.
That's pretty funny. Although, so you know what I did? I did my completely healthy 22-year-old son, right, who lives in Arlington County. Actually, he lives in Washington, D.C., but he couldn't – there was not an entry for that. So I put him in Arlington County. He is number 144 million in line. So I'm like somehow 120 million behind him. And I'm like, what the hell, man?
Interesting.
What the actual hell? Yeah.
I wonder if it's probably location based or like.
Yeah,
but,
I guess. Or maybe I'm just expendable. I don't know.
I've been very interested in the conversations about, I mean, it's not going to happen. And I think, you know, there's broad consensus, as there should be, about the way this virus should, or this vaccine should be distributed to the most vulnerable first, and more importantly, to healthcare workers first and first responders. Yep. But there has been a slightly provocative conversation about the idea that, like, I don't know, dude, should we just give it to these 20-somethings? Because they're idiots and you can't stop them. And you could save a lot of lives if you just made sure they had the dang vaccine. And I was like, that's not true. Not true.
For sure. For sure. Oh, that's funny.
I don't know how I think I'm going to pull this off, but my Make Me Smile today is the thing that genuinely made me laugh out loud from one of my favorite people on Twitter, Jen the Librarian, Word Herder. Yeah. And it's a visual joke, but it's really funny. And she sent a picture of a sign on the door of a physics professor. And it says, Nobel Prize for Physics 2020, attributed to Dr. Ketzer for demonstrating how black holes are formed. And then it's a 6-panel series of photos of a black cat curling itself into one of those tiny little cat balls that they do. And it looks just like a black hole. And she just tweeted it at me and was like, it's a cat joke and a physics joke. And I was like, make me smile.
That's awesome.
And that's literally
Tony's
all I got.
Tony's
going to
put it on the show page
Twitter...
so all y'all can see it. Yeah.
Exactly. Sometimes Twitter is hilarious. And by the way, the original poster is a guy who said, the students left this on my office door, which is adorable. Yeah. Skulls and the Stars.
Yeah.
Dr. Sky Skull. Also, cool name, Dr. Sky Skull.
Yes.
Anyway, that's
awesome.
That's what I got.
Good stuff.
Legitimately made
there
me smile. The end. Mm-hmm.
The end. That with the end, is it for us today. Back tomorrow, Economics on Tap. It's a Friday. I've been thinking, by the way, I should start drinking during the week more, just if I could share just for a moment.
Dude, my sister-in-law is probably trying to kill me, but she got me a wine advent calendar.
Oh, that can't
It's
be
an
terrible.
Advent calendar that is a case. It's a case of half bottles of wine. Ooh. As in, you're supposed to drink a half bottle of wine every day of December.
That can be tricky.
I feel the pressure already. I already failed last night. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we'll talk. Yeah, maybe I can send you some.
We'll talk. All right. Economics on Tap tomorrow. YouTube live stream as well. It is 3:30 in the afternoon Pacific, 6:30 on the East Coast. Central time, I don't even know. I'm just thinking of Kimberly Adams. That's all. Louisville time. In the meanwhile, subscribe to our newsletter if you would. We've got a look at Spotify's Wrap, the app's algorithm that tells you what you listen to this year. People love it. I did it. It was a little embarrassing. My favorite category? Show tunes. I've been doing a lot of Hamilton and a lot of, what's the one with the kid with the broken arm? Evan Hansen.
Oh, God.
The first couple of songs of Evan Hansen.
Really? You, sir, are a masochist.
Yeah. Really?
I don't think I've ever
the first couple of songs
like,
in that,
cried
in
so
that show?
Hard. I mean, I guess so, but whew, I can't. But now I'm scarred from how much I cried watching it. Anyway, I'm going to do it, and I'm excited. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
but it sounds both embarrassing, and I think that's very charming.
Newsletter sign-up is marketplace.org/newsletters. You guys know it better than I do.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Just wait. You're a delight,
yeah,
Rizdahl.
Yeah, that's why I didn't tweet it out. It was a little embarrassing. I would have had to explain it all, and people would have felt less of me. So, you know, whatever. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. I've got a reputation, you know. Tony Wagner is our digital producer, which I'm shooting myself in the foot with right now because I can't shut up. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart devices. Did I do Tony? Tony does digital producing stuff. That's what I did.
I would like all of you to email us and tell us what you think Kai Rizdahl's reputation is. Today's program was engineered by Ben Tolliday, the same Ben who composed our theme music with Daniel Ramirez, who I know is missing his buddy so hard. Our senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sotara Nieves.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.